thankful to be here this morning. Thankful for what all God's done for me in my life and what He's done around this place. I was thinking, and really it don't seem like that at all, but it has been that long, I guess. Brother Benji's almost been here 2 years already. And I got to thinking this morning, I thought about what it was like right before He came. God did this. I'm not trying to build Him up, and He knows that, and He knows I love Him and appreciate Him. But I was just sitting here thinking this morning, what a change that we've seen around about this place, and I believe we're still growing and still moving towards some things. I really do, and I'm glad of that and thankful for that here today. And I'm probably as nervous this morning as I've been about preaching in a long time, and I think that's probably because y'all are my people, and I've always said it's hard to preach in front of, seems like it's harder to preach anyway in front of your people than it is when you go place to place and you don't know them and they don't really know you. And I was thinking, we were sitting up here talking earlier, and I guess it's kind of a joke, but really it ain't. I was telling them that I'm pretty sorry, and I mean that. I know myself, and seemed like before, and she may not remember this, but seemed like before Brittany and I got married, I think I might have told her that one time, and I was kind of about halfway joking, but I meant it too. I think we ought to be able to look at ourselves and see where we fall short, and see where we can kind of scoot up closer to the Lord. And so I'd ask you to pray for me today. I've known this day was coming for, I guess, 2 or 3 months. Brother Benji and I, we talked about it a little while back, and seemed like preaching, see, it's funny. It's different. There's times I can go to a place and not have a clue, and I mean that with all honesty, not have a clue what I'm going to preach until I get up here. And the Lord just started helping me. And it seemed like that there's been some things for this hour and this day that's lingered around my heart ever since I knew that this day was coming. I guess it was maybe August or September, maybe, when we sort of we knew this was coming and sort of planned this out. And it's funny how God works and in that regard. But I'm just going to read these places that are on my heart, and I've learned, I used to, when I first started preaching, it don't seem like it. I was talking about Brother Benji done being here 2 years, and I guess I've done been preaching maybe 11, and it sure don't seem like it. Stood my first time when I was 18, and probably wouldn't up there 5 minutes, and really and truthfully, I thought, well, maybe that'll be all I'll ever have to at that time, and I thought, once I stood there for the first time, I thought that the devil would, sort of back up and leave me alone. But I've learned that that journey was just beginning. I might have said during revival, I think I might have testified one night about how that I thought when I got saved, I thought that'd be the end of all my troubles. I really did. And I thought the same thing whenever I joined the church, and thought the same thing whenever I told I was called to preach. But this walk that we're on, we really are on a battlefield. And so we need God's help, and I need your prayers this morning. Got a couple of different places I'm going to read, and two of them go right along with each other, but there's another one that, and I may read that, I may not, I don't know for sure, but if I do read it, you'll think, how in the world does that go together? Because I've thought it too, but I've learned standing here that if you'll let God, he'll do the preaching. And so I'm satisfied with that here today, to just open my mouth and read where He wants and try to say what He wants and let it fall where that it needs to. But as I said, I've sort of had some things lingering around my heart for a long time for this day and this hour. And then I guess it was last week, Brother Benji was preaching, and he mentioned the word culture. And ever since he said that, it has stuck with me. And he and I, we back in the summer, we talked a lot. Since we've been back in school, and I've been in ball season, and Well, I haven't got to talk to him as much, so he and I, we haven't talked very much lately, but it seemed like when he said that, it just like a light bulb went off. So if I, and I don't do this much, but if I was going to, I guess I'd say culture would be our, maybe our title today or our thought today. And so you just pray for us and bear with us. I don't know how long I'll preach, and I just hope and pray it can be a help to us today. But I'd say if you're here today and you're lost, you see, it's easy for us to just really, and it's been said before, but it's really easy for us to just sort of want to wait till revival to mention those things. And it's easy for us, it's easy for those that's lost to sort of just want to wait until revival, but it's a serious thing if you're here today and you're lost. And I'd encourage you that if the Lord begins to tug at your heart, I'd move towards Him. Because if He tugs at your heart, that means He's wanting to do a work. But if you've got a Bible, 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter, is where we're going to read a couple of verses. 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter. And again, you just pray for us today. If you want something out of it, you pray for us. And but 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter. And it says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of all the life that now is and of that which is to come." And then over in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, this, both of these places seem real familiar, and we'll read maybe 9 or 10 verses here, and maybe in one more place. But 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, it says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." And I know that's reading in two places, and I may just go ahead and flip over. I know this is going to seem strange, but this is really the part that's lingered around my heart the longest. That other come to me last week over in Proverbs, the 31st chapter. I'm going to read two verses. And I started not to read these, but I don't think I'll be able to travel today unless I read them. In the 31st chapter of Proverbs, the 10th and the 30th verse, it says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies." And then it says in the 30th verse, it says, "Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised." And I know that seems strange, and it sure enough seems strange to me. And I've thought a lot about, to be honest with you, ever since I knew this day was coming. What's sort of been on my heart is, I said culture, But I've thought a lot about young people. I really have. And I know I'm 29, and so it ain't been that long ago for me that I was sort of in sort of that same little time of life that a lot of you that are here today are in. And I'm around young people a lot. I think a lot of my kids that I'm around, you know, that I coach and at school and stuff. And so I'm around them a lot, and I may not show it very well, but I a lot of times really think and really burdensome about spiritually where are they at and where are they going to be. And I thought about our culture that we live in today, and I thought about kind of the way that we, and maybe you don't hear today, and that's good if you don't hear today, but I thought about sort of almost how that we raise our children anymore in this day and time in which we live, in this culture in which we live. And like I said, I believe that the culture, and I know all you believe this too, but I know that the culture inside of this place has changed a lot in the last little bit, and thanks be to God for sending us a man of God. I'm thankful for that here today. But I thought about today our culture and what we're leaving behind for our... This is just what's on my heart. You'll have to take it or leave it. But I thought about our culture and what we're leaving behind for our children, and what that we show them in our lives is important to us today in this life. And I don't have kids yet. If God sees fit to bless us that way, then I'll be glad of it and be thankful for it. But I thought about how that what we're leaving behind for our children, I really did, and how that we're teaching our children almost to go about this life. And I'm just going to preach this as it comes to me today. But I thought about how that when I was in high school, I thought about it sort of seemed like I was a boy. I was 16 at one time, and we run around with some boys. We like to get out in our trucks, and just like boys do. I'm just being honest and plain with you today. We like to get out in our trucks and run around. But before that, we like to be on our four-wheelers and run around. But I thought about sort of what we were almost taught by today's culture. And this has been 12, 13, 14 years ago. But I thought about that, and I thought, you know what we're almost encouraged to do anymore? Do you know what? And you may say, preacher, I don't teach my kids to do this. And if you don't, I'm glad that you don't here today. But I know what we were sort of taught, and how we as boys were sort of taught to think almost. And if this don't make you stop and think about where our culture is at today in the United States of America, and stop and think about it. It's not just we can talk about the country all that we want to. We can talk about what's going on in the big cities all that we want to. But I'd say to us here today, it's time that we bring it right down to us, don't you? And I'd say to you today that it's time that we drag it right on down to our level so that we can see it for ourselves. You see, because if we're not careful, what we'll do is we'll say, well, that's over yonder in Nashville, and really that's not me. But when we do that, we really won't pay attention to where we're at and what we're teaching our kids. And I'm glad here today we're not teaching our kids here in this area to go burn down something in the streets whenever things don't go their way. I'm glad of that here today. But I'm telling you, what we teach them today. I had that little thought about when I was 16 years old. And you know what sort of, I'm just going to be honest and plain with you here today. Do you know what we were sort of taught when we were 16 years old? We was sort of like, I guess you'd call us country boys. I don't know why in the world I'm preaching this right here today. But we were sort of the country boys, I guess, and we go out in our trucks on Friday nights and Saturday nights, and we want to ride the back roads and all them things, and we've all been there. But you know what our culture had taught us? Our culture had taught us that at 16, I'm just going to be, if this doesn't set well with you, I'm sorry here today, but listen, our culture taught us when we were 16 years old, you wasn't a boy, unless, you wasn't going to be a man unless you had a can of backer in your back pocket, you see. It taught us that you wasn't going to be a man unless you could find somebody who could go buy it, to go buy you a six-pack or a 12-pack of beer, you see. Listen, I'm just being honest with you. And you sure enough wasn't going to be a man if you couldn't chase women around. I'm just being honest and plain with you. And I know what our nature is as human beings. And I know sort of, but let me just be honest with you and say, I'm going to say that's no excuse. Did you know that? It's really not. If you're here today and you're a saved child of God, just because it's our nature and just because we are given to sin, it doesn't give you an excuse to go out and do whatever you want to. It does not give you that excuse. But I thought about today what it will
encourage. And you may say, preacher, you better not say this. Listen to me today. We were almost encouraged by the generation before us. Oh, you better go find you a woman to run around with at 16 years old. I'm going to be honest with you and say, a lot of 16-year-old boys, yeah, I know how I was when I was 16 and 18, and I didn't have no business running around with no woman because I was so immature. I can look back on it and say that. But I'd say to you today, we're teaching our children all the wrong things, ain't we, friend? We're teaching them all the wrong things. We're teaching them, oh, you go do that when you turn 16. Oh, and listen, you can get married later on in life. You can settle down later on in life. Well, I thought about this scripture this morning, and I even flipped over and read it. But you know we reap what we sow. You may say, preacher, oh, young kids, they've got to go out and sow their wild oats. Well, I'd say to you, if you teach them that, I want you to know you better teach them that they're gonna reap them too. If you teach them, they better go out and sow them. They'll reap them too, friend. They really will. And so I'd say to you today, why are we teaching our kids that it's okay when they're 16 and 17 and 18 to go out and do whatever they want to and, oh, not worry about it? I'd say to you, if you're saved, listen, you may say, oh, well, God understands. I mean, I don't know why I'm preaching this today. You may say, listen, you may say, well, I'm young. God understands that. Did you know, I'm going to be honest with you, after I got saved, did you know there ain't never been very many times after I got saved that God's not let me know when I mess up? Even if I was 16 or I'm 29 now, and there ain't been very many times that I've ever, and even there's been times where I've messed up and God didn't tear me down right away, but it came sometime down the road. It came sometime down the road. So I tell you today, be careful of the culture that we're raising our children up in today. I read some of that scripture over there. Unthankful, unholy. Now, I'm not saying that we're unholy around here. You ain't got to go far away to find it. Well, let me thank you, Lord. Did you know? I'm not trying to talk bad about nobody. I really ain't. But listen, I work at Macon County High School. And I'm going to be honest with you whenever I say this. It breaks, and you may think, oh, you don't show much emotion, and I really don't much, but it about breaks my heart to see some of the kids come in the shape they come in. It really does. What do you mean, preacher? Are you talking about people that ain't got no money? Not necessarily. I'm talking that there are some that come in, and it bothers me. And you think, what in the world do they see? What kind of cultures are they brought up in? Are they brought up around the kind of folks, I'm just going to be honest and plain with you, that don't like to work? And listen, we wonder why we've got lazy as a society. I'd say we've got too many people waiting on that money to come in every month, just to be honest with you. But I'd say you see these people, they come in and they've got, they're just all over them now. We've got, listen, 17 and 18 year old, I'm not preaching this to talk bad about nobody. I'm preaching it to scare that we are to understand. It ought to scare us, and we are to see where that we're at and where that we're headed as a society. I thought about, I don't know, I guess maybe because it was Thanksgiving, but I thought about the pilgrims. And you know, when they come over, they could not understand really the ungodliness of the Native Americans. They were a heathen people. They were a pagan people, if you will. And so I thought of that, and I thought about, listen, we're getting in days and times now where that you've got people running around. Listen, there's people that would assume to just go in Walmart just dressed in their pajamas and with earrings and nose rings and every little hole they could fit them in. And listen, that's the kind of culture. It's heathen here today, ain't it, friend? It's heathen here today. It's what our children are being raised up in. And you say, preacher, well, my kid don't have all the earrings. Listen, what about I thought about this. You're going to hate me, I guess, probably after today. I thought about a cell phone. I really did. I thought about a cell phone. And listen, there's times I'll catch myself thinking, you know, I wish I didn't even have that little thing. But I love it. I'm going to be honest with you. I love it. I sit on it all the time. I'm all the time looking up football, I guess, and different things like that. And I'm all the time talking to my buddies on it. But did you know, really and truthfully, I want you to think about this. I want you to think about the culture that we're raising our kids up in. Do you know what they can do in about 2 seconds with a phone? I'm not going to get real deep into that, but I'd say you better check what your children are on their phones. That's what I tell you. You better listen. We get training on that at school. And if you've ever seen some of it before, it probably tear your heart out. I'd tell you, you better be real careful about giving your kids one. And if you do give them one, I'd check what they're on, because there ain't no telling who's trying to reach them, who's trying to get a hold of them, or who's trying to get them to do something on that. So I'd say you better be real careful. That's the culture. We're living in a day and a time now where they listen, kids see mom and dad run off to work, and very little of this right here. And so we're and you may say, preacher, it's the cost of living now. I thought about that thing that used to go around on the computer there, that I believe it was a Harvey man who read that, who said that thing, if I were the devil, and it was 1965, and he said, if I were the devil, this is what I'd keep doing. And all these, and I ain't read that or saw it in a long time, but a lot of you have seen it. And listen, it talked about in it raising the cost of living so that both parents would have to work. And that, look what we're leaving behind for our children. I'm telling you, the brother said it a second ago when he talked about J.W. passing away. Listen, he said there's not as many filling in the gap as they once used to be. I'd say if you want your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren to get saved, I'd say to you today, that you better check. You better see what you're leaving behind for them whenever they do get here. What are we leaving behind for? In the culture that we're living in, unthankful, unholy, disobedient to parents. How many of you have ever been in Walmart before or somewhere around and you've seen the kid pretty much run the show? I've seen it before. Haven't you? I've seen it before. This is the culture that we're living in. But let me, I guess, get back to that I started out on. We was boys, and we were taught, yeah, you may say, well, surely nobody taught you that. Listen, it's what we were sort of told. We were, you can go out and you can do whatever you want to. You can chase whatever you want to. Listen, I'd say, I'm thankful. I got saved, I guess, right when I turned 16. And I'm glad I got saved when I did. You may say, you missed out on some things. Listen, I didn't miss out on anything that wouldn't have brought me trouble and grief way on down the road, don't you see? And so I'm glad of that chastising hand of God here today. And if you're a young person here today and you're saved, I'd say to you, listen, if you want to, listen, I've got some gray hairs already, and I'd say to you, some of it's from maybe work and stuff, but some of it, I can assure you, it's from whippings that I've took from God before. You may say, surely not, preacher. Yes, sir. I know what it's like to be chastised by the hand of God here today. Have you ever been chastised by the hand of God here today? Has the Lord ever let you know, friend, you ought not have done that. You shouldn't have done that. Listen to me today. We're teaching our children it's okay for them to go out and do whatever they want to until they turn 18, 19, or 20. I say to you today, what we need to be teaching them is that when they're at a very young age, I say, preacher, they don't need to be worried about that, or at 13 or 14 years old. I'd say to you today, friend, we need to start teaching our children to start praying for who it is that they should marry. You know it? Start praying for it. I'm telling you, you may disagree with this. You know you could save yourself a lot of trouble if you'd ask God who you need to marry. That don't get preached on very much anymore. But listen, I'm glad of the fact right here, it's happened for me. And even maybe in times in my life where I wasn't even necessarily maybe looking for it, God sent it for me. And I can stand here today and tell you that if He'll do it for me, He'll do it for you too, friend. He really will. I sat right here back years ago, and I can remember praying. God sent me the one that had, I guess I had been instructed to do that, but I began praying that. You may say, preacher, why in the world are you preaching this? I don't know for sure. I really don't. It's for business. You know what? As this day's drawn closer, I've been sort of troubled about standing here and preaching today. And I thought, I'll just be glad to get there and get it off of me, to be honest with you. And so you can, listen, you can, if whenever I get done with it, if it don't, whether it sets well with you or if it don't, I'd say to you here today, it's going to be off of me, and you can take it and you can deal with it. But I'd say to you here today, it'd be a good thing for you, 16. You may say, how do you know that, preacher? Listen to me. I lived it. I know it. And I was done up in my 20s, I guess, probably whenever I started praying that. I'm telling you, you can save yourself some heartache. Young person here today, you can save yourself some trouble here today if you'll go ahead and you'll start praying to God on that end. You can. You may not agree with that here. That's all right if you don't. they don't have. I'm not saying you've got to get married when you're 18 years old. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, I tell you what you better do. Tell you what you better do. You better ask God to send you the one for you. That's what you better do. I tell you, if you do that, we could. Listen, they talk about the divorce rate in this country. I tell you, people, that what are we leaving behind for our children to see? I know people. I've heard this come out of people's mouths before. Oh, you want to marry for looks or money? I've heard that before. Haven't you? I've heard that before. How much of that ends in divorce? How much of that ends in divorce? I've heard that. Well, I've heard people say, well, don't marry for love, marry for money. Because the love will fade away, but the money, it'll be there. Ain't that pitiful? That's pitiful. That's shameful. But I've heard people I didn't hear that in Nashville either. I want you to understand that. I heard that in Macon County, Tennessee. I heard that. It's pitiful. You may listen. I'm going to be honest with you, it ain't always easy, but I'd say to you, it's a real good thing for you young person here today. I'd say you quit looking. I don't know why I'm preaching this, and I thought maybe sure there'd be more in it for the church. Seemed like, but I'd say to you today, I'd quit looking out yonder at what life looks like a soul, and I'd be trying to get my life centered up on the will of God. Wouldn't you? Listen, I know what it's like. I know what it's like. I'm going to be honest, I don't know why in the world. Whenever I was 18 years old, I told I was called to preach. And you know what I thought? I thought in my heart, I really did, I thought this. I thought, well, I'm going to wait till I get done with college. I was a freshman in college. And I had done been called to preach, I guess, a year. And I thought, well, I'm going to wait till college is over with, and I'll preach then. But you know, I'm sad, and you may say, oh, surely you would have. I'm not convinced I'd make it through college if I didn't start preaching. But whenever I was that age, I thought, well, you know what I can do? I can preach every little bit, just enough to keep the Lord and the devil off of me. Because I'm going to be honest with you, and I'm not just talking to preachers here today. I'm talking to everybody here today. But you know what I thought? I thought, well, I can preach just enough to keep the Lord off of me about it. And maybe the devil won't bother me too much if I preach just a little bit. And I used to, and I've said this lots of times. When I first started preaching, I thought I could preach sort of with one foot in the church door and one foot out in the world. You know, it won't work that way.
Amen.
The Bible said in the place it said, a house that is divided, it cannot stand. Is what it said. And so I was in that shape. I was 18 years old and I thought, well, I've told this now. I preach now. But I'm just going to be as loose and as light switched as I can be. And I'm just being honest with you about my life here today. I'll kind of stay in it a little bit, but after I realized that I wasn't going to be able to get away from it after I did it that first time, I thought, well, I'll just stay in it just enough. Do you know it took me a little while, but I realized that wasn't going to be good enough. That wasn't going to be good enough. I'm telling you, if you're here today, and you're a young person, I'd say this to you. You can save yourself a whole lot of heartache if you'll go ahead and you'll center your eyes and your life and your heart on the will of God.
That's right.
You can save yourself a whole lot of heartache if you'll do that. See, it took, I told you about some of them whippings. It took a lot of them. You don't even understand. Maybe you do. I guess you probably do. You don't know how, and I'm stubborn and hard-headed, and a lot of you knows that, I'm sure. But listen. You don't even understand how hard the Lord had to be on me at times that you wouldn't even realize unless you had lived it like I had. You might think somebody was telling me how good they thought I was, and I thought, well, I know how sorry I am, and I know how short that I fall, and you know how much sort of his. I thought about this. I don't know why. Brother Rick one time preached about the potter in the clay a long time ago, but I remember it sitting right there, and he preached about how that God will mold us into something that He can use. And I thought about that, and that's been years ago when He preached that, but I thought about that, and how that He's, and if you'll let Him, He'll mold you. And it may not always be easy. The molding and the fitting, it may not always be easy, but I'd say to you here today, I can look back on every molding and fitting, every valley that I've ever been in, and tell you it was worth it here today. It was worth it. You may say, oh, Listen, I thought some of you know about this, I guess. My grandparents, I've told some people about this, and I've probably preached about it before. A lot of you may remember this. I guess I was probably 20. It happened in 2012. So I was 20 or 21 when this happened, and I'm not up here telling you this for sympathy. A lot of you done knows it, I know. But listen, one night, right after New Year's, one night we got a phone call. Both of my grandparents were dead. And it wasn't the fact, now listen, I understand grandparents that passed away. I understand that. That's not what I'm saying. It wasn't the fact that that happened as much as how it happened. And if any of you have ever remember that or have ever heard me tell it before, you know why I'm saying that. But you talk about hard, and I thought, why in the world did that have to happen? And I'll just tell you what happened, just so that you'll know, so that you can understand. I'm not telling you this for sympathy, but it was really my step-grandfather, but we looked at him like he was our grandfather. And we don't know what happened. We don't know what all led into it. But anyway, one night he had a shotgun there at the house, and don't know what happened, but he shot her and then turned it on himself. That was at the very beginning of 2012. And I'm just telling you that to say that's what happened. That's what we lived through. And I thought, at times I thought, why did it have to happen that way, and how hard that it was. But I can look back on it now with all the surety and stand here and tell you that, yes, it was a valley. It was as hard of a valley as I've ever been in. I've told people before that it was the hardest thing that I've ever lived through other than being lost. But I can look back on it now and say that God, He shaped me and He molded me in that valley. I can look back on it and I can tell you that. Listen, I don't know one person that sits around and begs for the valleys of life to come. But I tell you, they're coming. You know that? They're coming. And you can either go through the valleys of life with a young person, and you may not be. I thought about this morning when I was getting ready. I thought, you know, if that goes how that it feels in my heart, I guess it'll seem like it's to young people. But I'd say to you here today, whether you're 16 or 36 or 56, I'd say to you, we've all got some scooting up to the Lord that we could do. And listen, there ain't one of us in here that's done growing in the sight of God. There ain't one of us that's done growing. So I'd say to you, y'all understand and realize this, but the valleys of this life, they're going to come. They're going to come. The Bible said in the place it rains on the just and the unjust. And it does. And so there's things that's going to come by. I thought about one time when that tornado came through here. I remember thinking, well, maybe that was the Lord trying to get our attention, wake us up. And I don't know if He was or He wasn't. For sure, I've got my own thoughts about it. But listen to me, I'd say to you today, I thought about COVID. I remember when COVID first hit. I preached over at Macon Church. That was the first appointment I had after COVID hit. And I preached to them about not letting this opportunity to grow in the Lord pass them by. And what I meant by that was at that time we all had a lot more downtime than we had had in a long time. And there had been some times when we first went into quarantine and everything that the Lord had really stirred at my heart to get in the Bible and to try to pray. And it helped me grow in Him. And I'd say to you today, no matter where you're at in your life, it's never too late for you to grow in the Lord. Amen. It's never too late. No matter where you're at or no matter what you're going through. And I tell you this to our pastor, he preaches it all the time. These valleys that we're talking about, these things that we go through, they're a whole lot easier to go through with the Lord than they are without Him. Amen. They're a whole lot easier. So I'd say to you today, if you're here and lost and undone, I'd say you better be getting in. That's what I tell you. I read you some scripture right there. Listen, that's Paul talking to Timothy right there in two different places. He said, now in the latter times, he talked about those being unthankful and unholy and evil and evil spirits and seducing spirits and evil men and all that waxing worse and worse. And if we ain't in that time, I don't know what it looks like for you. So I'd be telling you here today, if I had a thought to you, I guess I preached a lot to young people maybe. Seem like, I don't know for sure. I'd encourage you to get centered up on the will of God. If I had a thought to you here today, it'd be to check our... Listen, I'm glad I said this a minute ago, and I mean this. I'm glad our culture here... Listen, 2 years ago, Brittany has belonged here the whole time. She's been a member. And I didn't even belong here at this particular time. But we come up here about once or twice a month. And listen, I'm just going to be honest with you. I didn't like coming. Back when we were looking for a pastor, I did not like coming. And I told people that. I'm not saying that to be mean or anything like that, but I just didn't. There was nothing. But then when God, thank you, Lord, when God put His hand on us, and God put a man in here, and listen, it didn't happen overnight, and we're still scooting up, ain't we? We're still scooting up. But that culture, boy, it flipped, didn't it? Thank you, Lord. It flipped. I'd say to you here today, look at the culture that's out yonder in our world for our children to grow up in. What are we leaving behind? I had that thought. I'm serious about that. When we were boys, they told us, oh, you go out and you do whatever you want to. You're 18, 20, you know, whatever. When you get about 23, 25, whatever, you go ahead, then you can get married, and then you can settle down a little bit. I'd say to you, listen, we ought to be real careful with that line of thinking. If you care at all about the future of your children and your grandchildren, you ought not teach them that. I tell you that. You ought not teach them that. And I don't know if there's anybody here that does. All I know is that I guess maybe teacher, I don't know who it was, I can't remember, but somebody somewhere down the road told us boys that. And so that's what we did. You might say, oh, y'all were just boys being boys, just living a little bit. Did you know even then, as a 16-year-old boy, if I set out to get into something I shouldn't have, I could feel that right here. I could feel that right here. And I'm thankful for it now. At the time, I thought, gosh, I wish the Lord would just leave me alone and let me be a boy a little bit, you know. I'm serious. I remember. I'm glad for every time. If I'd have went out and got into some of that stuff, it ain't no telling where I'd be at today. Ain't no telling where I'd be at today. I hope and pray the message will be a help to you. Titus, go ahead and get you a song. I'll turn it back over to Brother Benny.